Hello, folks. Today's episode is from a live stream we did for our, guess what, Patreon members. That's right, patreon.com/late night. If you go over there, you can get access to video episodes, including today's. And also, we've been doing one live stream a month. Sometimes we'll talk about a book we've been reading, maybe not a good one. Sometimes we'll just kind of yak about whatever, which is what happened this week. We actually had a gimmick that we just abandoned because we're having such a good time talking. Anyway, go over to patreon.com/late night to sign up. Over there, sign up at the $5 a month or more tier to get mini episodes every week and enjoy this episode culled from our live stream. Now, hi, everybody.
Hi, everyone. Welcome.
It is a live stream.
It is a live stream.
Mm-hmm.
You're
looking very festive today. I like this shirt.
Thank you. I love this shirt. It makes me feel like a styrofoam cup in the 90s.
I don't think I've seen it before. Like, this looks new to me.
Yeah, I need to do laundry, so things are getting cold. Also, like half the buttons have fallen off of this, so I can't wear it like a regular, you know, shirt. I have to have a thing.
Oh, I see you have a t-shirt under. I didn't even see this. I just assumed it was, but okay, here we go. There it is, yeah.
That is great. Me. Happy Sunday, Brian and everyone. How are we doing?
Oh, yeah, happy Sunday to you. Of course, we're doing well. Over here we are Halloweenifying the house.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Rachel and Audrey are decorating. And it's good. It's good. I went out for bagels this morning to get some. I was the first one up, as I usually am, and I went out to get bagels. And yeah, that's been my day. I got 2 everything, 1 rosemary, sea salt, and a plain for my family.
How do you feel about rosemary as a seasoning?
I mean, in general, I'm fine with it. It's, you know, in limited doses, great on potatoes. Potatoes with rosemary and salt, very nice.
I find it can be a little much. It can be a little overwhelming.
I don't like it in, sometimes you see it in like cocktails, and then I think it's unnecessary.
I've never had it in a cocktail. That sounds very bad. Brian, what's a cocktail that you want to like, but you don't?
Oh, honestly, and this one is very situational, Bloody Mary. Like, I do like a Bloody Mary, but I get 2 sips in, and I'm like, oh, I don't know about this. And when it's too spicy, it's a bad scene for me.
When it's bad, it's bad, but when it's good, it's like my favorite thing ever. And I get such horrible acid reflux from tomato stuff now that I can't drink probably my favorite cocktail. I mean, I just love the idea of like, this is soup, and it gets you drunk. Enjoy.
I think the sickest I've ever been after a single drink was from a Bloody Mary.
Ooh.
Yeah. Like, and so there were
an airport Bloody Mary is devastating. It's like, what is this? Did you just put a little bit of vodka and ketchup?
There was one, I may have talked about this on the show in the past. There was one at this bar, Lancers in San Diego, I had probably close to 25 years ago, where the bartender would bring in his own vegetables, like pickled vegetables, and stack the Bloody Mary with them. So you'd get like pickled okra and green beans and all this awesome stuff. And that was a great drink. It was like a total dive bar that if you went on, you know, on Sunday between whatever it was, 1 and 5 p.m., you'd get this guy and he'd make you a special Bloody Mary.
That's awesome. I love that.
What about you? What's your cocktail you wish you liked?
A dirty martini, because idea of brine, and it's just even
well,
like
thank
the
you very much. I love the idea of Leighton.
Wow. I think the dirtiest dirty martini is still not what I want it to be. I just find them kind of gross, but in theory, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just in practice, every single time I get one, I'm like, this is fucking disgusting.
Yeah, I would much rather. Generally, I do like them. It has to be a limited amount of olive juice.
Hmm.
You have to say olive juice too. It's the Family Guy joke. You have to say
olive juice.
No, you say olive juice too. That's the whole phrase. You're
olive
missing a word.
Too.
There we go. Thank you. Brian the dog is my personal comedy idol.
Brian the dog?
Brian the dog, yeah. Woof woof, of course. That's his catchphrase. Woof woof, I'm a dog. With a little bit of Brian, it's good, a lot like this podcast. Mm-hmm. And if there's too much Brian, it gets a little overwhelming. And sometimes, you know, Brian's a little salty. And then the quality of the whole
Maybe
thing just
always.
Plummets rather quickly.
Yeah, the quality of the show does plummet when Brian is salty.
Yeah. You know what I don't like is martinis with blue cheese olives.
I just don't like blue cheese olives. Another thing that I wish I liked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. I'm not a big blue cheese guy in general.
No. But I love cheese. I love an offensive cheese for some reason. It's
you
like
mean like a stinky cheese?
Yeah, but it's like the closest thing. I don't want to necessarily be reminded so explicitly that I'm eating mold.
And I agree
cheese,
with you.
It
yes.
feels strongest. So even like a brie yeah. where it's like yummy rind mold. Mm-hmm. It's not. Blue cheese is just unadulterated.
Yeah,
blue dabba-dee-dabba-dye.
I had to, blue cheese was actually something about 10 years ago, I was like, I hate this and I'm going to get to hate it less. And I successfully did it. So now I can eat it in a way I couldn't, but I don't love it. But I'm no longer repulsed by it.
That's character development. That's self-improvement. You'd love to see it.
It's the Brian Wecht way.
I don't like buffalo wings. I don't like buffalo
really?
Sauce.
Oh,
seasoning.
I love it.
No,
yeah.
I find it very offensive palate-wise.
Interesting.
Yeah, but I guess, I'm thinking blue cheese dip, like that combination is like, ugh.
I like it quite a bit. I'm trying to think of other drinks that I wish. I don't like super elaborate fancy cocktails. You know, simple, like, three-ingredient cocktails are really nice for me. Mm. More than that, I find they're never as good as I want them to be, and I always end up overpaying. You know, like, if I'm paying... We live in L.A. If you're going to get a fancy cocktail, I mean, that's approaching $20 sometimes.
Yeah, for one.
For one, which is dumb, but is nevertheless true.
And it'll also be, like, a tiny little glass that's, like, this big. It's insane.
Yes.
You need to see it.
So I do. And I would rather spend that on two cheaper drinks than one expensive drink that I'm not really going to like anyway. Yeah. There's always one ingredient that you don't know what it is, you know.
They're trying to be fancy, like just looking at this long chunk of text.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not going to taste that. My palate
some of it's
isn't developed
in French. Like, I don't know what that French stuff is. Like, I can guess. But yeah, I had a friend. Did I ever tell you? I had a friend. I must have told this on the show. Well, I used to.
Bro,
actually, I don't really talk to this guy anymore. We were in a band in San Diego, and this guy was a bit of a burnout, had done a lot of drugs, and his brain didn't totally function properly. And a lot of times, instead of rehearsing, we would go to the local bowling alley and just get drinks, because there was a bowling alley that was a 2-minute drive or a 20-minute walk, whatever, away from his place. So sometimes we'd show up at his place for rehearsal and just be like, fuck it, let's go get a drink. And the only drink he would get would be Grand Marnier Neat.
What the fuck?
Yeah. So he would get, and the thing about this bowling alley, which was actually awesome, is it was definitely like a divey dive bar in this bowling alley with a bartender who didn't give a fuck and would effectively pour triples of everything for the price of a single. So you'd go and you'd be like, you know, I'll have a Jack Daniels, and you'd get, you know, half a pint of Jack Daniels. So if you wanted to get fucked up, this was the place to go. Now, I never drank to get fucked
getting up. Fucked up at the bowling alley. I'm not there to bowl. I'm there to get drunk off of two triple shot Manhattans and smoke cigars, baby.
Oh, but now, instead of that Manhattan, turn that into a Grand Marnier Neat. And you know how sometimes there's that like little glass? It's kind of like Is that fluted? It sort of goes in. Anyway, there's a little
hourglass.
It looks like a mini snifter or something. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, there is a little glass that I guess you pour it in. And this glass would show up filled to the brim with Grand Marnier, which is, for those of you who don't know, an orange flavored liqueur.
It yes, as Felix sucks. Wright says in the chat, due to his nostalgic for kids' orange cold medicine. You know what? We're really not beating the... So my therapist has listened to a little bit of this show. And every time we talk about it, he's like, you know, you guys spend so much time talking about minutia. I'm so impressed at how people are able to just talk about these little specific things. So we're really not beating the dissecting minutia allegations.
No, that's yeah, I agree. We should have him on. What do you think? We should have him as a guest on the show and he can analyze me. That would be
analyze
fun, wouldn't it?
This.
Yeah. As we say in New Jersey.
Yeah. And we've had this whole conversation about drinks. Like I actually do any sort of drinking. When we were at the concert the other day,
which
we can talk about. I had a nice tall Coca-Cola. Coke on the
rocks.
At
you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was delicious. That's the thing that kills me. If you go to a bar and you get like go-to is just like Maker's and Coke.
Mm-hmm.
If the Coke is bad,
that is
the thing that makes me so angry. Like whiskey already makes Coke like a little too sweet and a little too flat instantly. So what mm-hmm. I wish McDonald's would put whiskey in their beautiful, perfect Coca-Cola. Like you know what? I should do that. I should go get
like
a crispy
McDonald's cantina.
Coke. Yeah. Why isn't there a McDonald's cantina? Come on.
Mm-hmm.
It should exist. I mean, McDonald's has the hands down best Coca-Cola.
Do you want to talk? So I see Marissa in the chat here saying Built to Spill concert, ? Yes. This is the concert to which you are referring. So why don't you discuss your experience?
Well, for folks in the know, i.e. who listened to last week's episode, you can hear in real time me clipping the mic going, what? When Brian mentioned that he would be opening for Built to Spill. Brian could not get us on the list. And then Jory and I bought tickets. And then Brian texted saying that there were openings on the list, which was cool.
It wasn't my set. And, I appreciate you being flexible and supporting live music, of course.
Of course. We would have gone regardless, but mm-hmm. I'd never been to the Bellwether before, which is a dope venue.
Really nice venue.
Yeah, and we were able to post up and get some pretty choice balcony leaning space. The bruises have like gone away, but my like forearms are bruised from leaning.
But, I actually tried to get back to you guys during the Built to Spill set, and I couldn't get within five people, and I wasn't going to shove my way through the crowd. So
we were wondering where you went. I also had like such bad spotty service, so I was trying to text you and like nothing was going through.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's see. You had not heard of Built to Spill prior to that, right?
No, I had heard of them. I mean, they're iconic. I just didn't know their music at all. So I don't think I had heard a single song, but I knew the band. And when I would tell people that, hey, I got a gig with our friend JP opening for Built to Spill, people's reactions were either like, oh, okay, or your reaction, which was, oh, what? What? Yeah.
Yeah. Built to Spill is classic. You're sad in the 90s. If you like Modest Mouse, you will really like Built to Spill. That's probably the closest comparison that I can make. Built to Spill, whereas Modest Mouse is very like nihilistic, pessimistic, Built to Spill is like the most heart-rending, beautiful, sincere.
Yeah. By the way, an interesting thing I just read about in the news. Modest Mouse, actually, the copyright is up on Modest Mouse now because it's been 75 years. So people can use Modest Mouse kind of for free in anything they want. It's interesting.
That's really great.
Yeah.
Well, I hate to be shitting your cut, Brian, but the package is going to be late. Fuck, I was trying to think of like literally any other Modest Mouse song. Shit in Your Cut is a Modest Mouse song.
What else? Float On, right?
Float On, yes. I'm a huge Modest Mouse fan. I can't think of any of their songs right now because I'm too busy thinking about Built to Spill.
Mm-hmm. So
JP with his band Hasco Incorporated.
Hasco Enjoyments.
Hasco Enjoyments. Fuck. I was already thinking about JP Incorporated. So right. Forgive me my confusion. Which was fucking great. You guys crushed it.
Thank
it
you.
Was such a vibe. The crowd loved it.
Crowd did love it.
I really liked Quasi's set, but I wish that y'all's set had been the length that theirs was.
Yeah, I wish we had a little more time. So I prefer, I see Marissa asking, I played sax and just sax. I showed up. We did five songs. They did two songs with, we had Nick playing guitar with a lot of pedals and effects on it. JP was playing baritone guitar in a very Badalamenti way, and also had a tracks going on one of the songs. We had a flautist named Taylor, and then they did two songs together, and I came out for the final three on soprano. And it's all very ambient kind of stuff, a little discordance, the wrong word, but kind of shifting tonalities. I love this music. I really recommend anyone who likes that kind of vibey Badalamenti stuff, I think will enjoy this. There are 6 or 7 tracks out now, with a full album coming soon. I on one of the tracks I play sax, also features Bear from Mr. Bungle, which is cool. It's like, it's really great stuff. JP, interestingly, this is the first time JP and I have ever played together. We've done a billion shows together in various capacities. He was the tour manager for NSP, and when I would do my solo, you know, variety, luau, whatever shows, he would always do a set, but we never really like performed together. So this is the first time I have played music with JP. I always knew he was a very talented and accomplished musician, but we just never done anything together before. So it's, his stuff's really, really good.
Embarrassingly, so I was wearing my glasses for the concert, but my prescription is so out of date that I was staring at the stage, and the entire time I was trying to figure out which one was JP. Because I didn't see it before you guys went on, so I wasn't sure which color.
And yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was legitimately so great. And also, while Jory and I were up there on the balcony, we very quickly noted that Greg Turkington was there to see JP, and he was just
I didn't get to say hi to him. He was around.
I know. Jory and I both could have. We had the in. It's like, we are both also here to see JP, but we didn't want to bother him. But
He didn't come backstage at all. Cool. But yeah, I thought it was a really fun show. I thought our set went well. I wish we had had more time to do more stuff.
The crowd was so into it.
Crowd was very into it, which is, you never know with an opening act, right? Like, it's always a mixed bag. A lot of times people just show up, but also Built to Spill, I'm not surprised people are like pretty chill and into it. They're like built to chill. In fact, I thought people were very into it and respectful, which is all you want as an opener.
Yeah. That changed a little bit further into the concert, but, Brian,
with Quasi.
Towards the tail end of Built to Spill, shit was getting, We'll get to it. But you guys were great. You got off. Quasi came on, who I had not really listened to prior, but obviously the drummer was from Slater Kinney, right?
I think she was. I always forget who. I think they both played with Elliot Smith. Yes, I think drummer was Slater Kinney. It's like indie rock credentials out the ass. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, the front man was in Heat Miser with Elliot Smith. They were really good.
I really like them. Yes.
The lyrics were, you know, I usually don't listen to the lyrics on things, but when you're above the din or hearing like a 55-year-old man singing about TikTok stars, like, it does kind of make your soul wither and die a little bit. Mm-hmm. Were you there when he started humping the keyboard?
Oh, no. That's my job.
You missed it. No, I know. He like fully, you know, got on top of it and was going at it. And, like, did a whole like somersault over it. And I was like, damn, why isn't Brian doing this? Yeah.
That doesn't sound great. I have to say, the three songs of theirs I heard, I really liked. And I have been listening to a few of their albums in the last couple days. Oh. Really, really great stuff. Not any of the recent stuff. I've been kind of going back to the earlier stuff. I really, really like what I've been hearing.
Okay. Oh, fuck. I should have said good news for people who love bad news when you said the Modest Mouse thing. That's so fucked up. That would have been the easiest pull. God damn it.
It would
anyway,
have.
I went and got very, very stoned on the patio, and then I came back, and then Built to Spill came on, and it's the 30th anniversary of There's Nothing Wrong with Love, so they played the entire album.
In order, right?
In order, brother. I told Jory ahead of time, like, when they play Twin Falls, I'm gonna sob. They got me early, and I got my cry out of the way when they played Big Dipper, which
I
had literally...
I listened to them do that one.
Yeah, that one had been stuck in my head for weeks when you were like, I'm opening for Built to Spill. So that one, I was really just like, okay. So they played through the whole album. Jory and I stayed through the encore, where they played a bunch of the hits, but more specifically, because they had an awesome cellist. Of course.
Yes, that cellist was great.
Yeah, they played the celloiest cello song I would heard of Fly. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously they were going to do it, but there was a girl in the audience who, for the whole encore, very drunk, was like, play I Would Hurt a Fly, please. And I hate it when it's like, I agree with you, but please shut the fuck up. This is so embarrassing. Mm-hmm. But they did play it, and that was my number one top played song on Spotify for like 3 years in a row.
That's great. I got to listen to that.
It's so good live, too.
They were great live. I was texting with Bill Childs, and he was like, they're great live, and he was not wrong. Now, I have to, to me, it was interesting because I don't know the music well, and it is such a wild thing to be watching a set, which clearly means the world to many of the people there. People are into it. They're emotional over it. You know, they're crying. And I'm just in the background being like, yeah, that sounds good. Cool. All right. And watching this room of, I think it was like a 1500 capacity venue. I'd say most people there are big fans. And to me, I have no emotional resonance with this music. I didn't even know it. Yeah. And everybody around me is like feeling it, capital F. Interesting, interesting place to be.
I mean, that was part of what got me about Big Dipper, too. It's just like the whole crowd singing along with this song about wishing that you could see things the same way you saw them when you were a kid. Like, oh, getting a little choked up thinking about it. But so many of the songs were like that. It's, you know, when I think about music that I cried to in high school, it's Radiohead, Sufjan Stevens, and Built to Spill. They're my top three, get cut me real deep. And I usually don't watch live performances. I've watched a lot of live performances of their songs because they just go full jam band. And I also love Doug March's little stage presence, which is just, you know, he does his little head bobbling as he plays the guitar. And it's just, there are little specific live versions, like live variations that they do. Like in Twin Falls, there's a lyric that on the record is like, but I've never seen. And then in all the live shows, it's But Only in My Dreams, which is like such a fun little twist on that song. And there are a bunch of little like intonations that he does in I Would Hurt a Fly. Anyway, we're really going off about this concert, but it was fucking amazing.
I love that that was an important band to you. I love that I sprung it on you during a recording and got to watch you react real time. I had thought we had talked about it because I've known this is coming up for months.
Jesus.
And Jory had a great time too. I didn't talk to him afterwards. Okay, good.
It was very sweet. He was head bobbing to it, and he also was getting emotional. So it was really great.
Yeah.
So we had a great time.
I love it. Yeah, I left at some point. It was clear that I was getting tired, and I was hanging out backstage after, you know, whatever, four or so Built to Spill songs. And I was like, I just kind of, JP and I were talking before the show. There's something about local one-off gigs where it completely ruins your entire day for no good reason. And you're just like sitting around, you know, I kind of went over the parts and I'm like, I edited the Victor Varnado episode. And I'm just kind of like, I can't really accomplish too much today because I know I have to leave. It like completely scuttles any plans you have for the day, but for no particularly good reason. So I just wanted to get home and, you know, have a chill night. So I left before the end of the show. And I was also like, if people are going to be coming backstage and hang out, that's one thing, but I don't know those guys. Yeah. I talked to the Quasi guy a little bit. It's very nice.
Oh, nice.
And I just said, hey, you guys were awesome. I really enjoyed that set. You know, we chatted for a little bit.
That's great.
Yeah, but I don't know the Built to Spill band, and I the last thing I want to do is like horn in on people's conversations. It's also an LA show, which means they know a ton of people. I decided to just leave. I hate that backstage, don't know anybody, pseudo networking bullshit.
Yeah, valid. The other part of this that I neglected to mention is that our friend Mari was hanging out with us up on the balcony. And mm-hmm. after Mari left, before she left midway through Built to Spill, there was like an incredibly drunk Woo Girl directly behind us. And so the moment that Mari left, Woo Girl took her place directly next to me.
Mari is very tall.
Mari is very tall, and she was wearing all white, so she was easy to find, and she's like assertive. So she was like, she secured the spot. And then Woo Girl takes over, and she is like drunk plus on something, and she is probably going harder than anybody else in that entire venue, and she is right next to me, and they're playing like their down tempo songs, and she's like, woo! And dancing and bumping into me, and then midway through one of the songs,
you did that really well. You should think about becoming a Woo Girl, because you I think you've got the goods, Layden.
I do have the goods. Well, and this is essentially exactly what she told me, because midway through one song, she like leans over and starts a conversation. She's like, "Where are you from?" And like, you know, I can't hear her, and I'm like, North Carolina. She's like, "You know, you're about it. You get it. And she like kept going.
I was
like,
what? Exactly.
Great question. I don't know. But like she kept going, and I was just like, my hearing's really bad. I can't talk during concerts. Sorry. And then she left me alone, but she was still fucking going through the rest
Describe
of the concert.
Young, old?
Probably really? Like mid-30s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like old enough to be sad to it in the late 90s, you know?
Yeah. I really like, it is nice. It is honestly a bit inspiring to see, you know, the Built to Spill folks or Doug, you know, older than I am, but not like shockingly older. I'd say maybe 10 years, mid to late 50s, probably, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
Nice to see a very active, creative performance life, you know, at that age. It gives me hope that, you know, I can keep this going for,
he is
for even
55.
Longer. 55. Okay. So
and
6 years older.
Their bassist was so great.
They were all great, yes.
The cellist, the drummer, the bassist. But the bassist especially, Jory was pointing out, like, she is definitely young enough to have been a
fan. She looked younger than,
And then being the, I mean, that's crazy. Great
energy. I'd say the drummer was approximate. Drummer and cellist both looked 50s-ish.
Yeah.
She looked a bit younger, probably in her 30s, I would guess.
Yeah. All bands should have a cellist, I think.
I love a good cello. That's one of the things I was listening. Yeah.
He was doing like really interesting stuff with it too, which I can't really articulate because I don't know my shit, but.
Yeah. It's like Dougie Jones said, cello. Right?
Yeah, right. You're so right. What else is going on in our lives?
Well, do you want to enter your corner? So you can say some of your patented observations.
Yeah, I would love to go into my corner.
Okay, let's see.
Someone specifically puts baby in the corner. There we go. That's the stuff. That's the goods.
Okay, there's your corner. So
God, I wish we could pitch my voice up for this.
Corner thoughts.
All right, well, I'm in woman's corner right now. And as a woman, I'd like to say that rewatching Spiral from the Book of Saw and then Saw X with somebody who hasn't seen either of them was a real treat, because Spiral is the fucking worst, maybe the worst Saw movie, and Saw 10 is like the best that the series has been since 3.
Really?
So the emotional...
And are they one after the other in release?
Yes.
Okay.
So the Spiral from the Book of Saw is the Chris Rock one, that is just a baffling artifact.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Chris Rock seems to like not know what movie he's in, and you can tell that like this thing got chopped up in editing hard. There's exactly one character who is doing a good performance, but he has so little to work with. That he's really enjoyable, but I will say the one good thing about Spiral from the Book of Saw and like a lot of the not good Saw movies is that they still commit to like good practical effects. They look nasty. Mm-hmm. But like Saw 10 is such, we are so back. We got classic gags. They're letting Tobin Bell make jokes. You could, what more could you want? It's a really fun movie. I was watching it with Aaron and Susie yesterday, so we just did like a double feature over Discord, and it was a joy.
Well, that's Woman's Corner.
That's Woman's Corner. Yeah. Also, Samuel L. Jackson is in Spiral from the Book of Saw, and it's
really,
yeah, it's tough. It's really tough. I'm so curious if he had anything to say about that movie because he's like barely in it, and it's rough. The whole like final 10 minutes of that movie. So like once there's the big reveal and they start playing Hello Zepp, and I was listening to Aaron watching it in disbelief. I was just losing my fucking mind laughing.
Has he seen any of the other Saw movies?
Oh, Aaron and Susie are huge Saw fans. Like they were watching the first few, and then when we were gaming, I was like, we should watch Spiral and Saw 10 because it's a very interesting experience to go from one to the other. And Tobin Bell, he's just the fucking greatest, and he looks like shit in Saw 10 and he is crushing it.
I'm looking through the Chris Rock filmography right now, and I guess it is true in general, the movies that he's in are not the best.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I can appreciate that he is a big like horror movie fan and got the chance to like, you know, do a Saw movie. It just is very bad. And the traps are dumb. The traps are such an important part. Like, I love Saw 10 going back to basics. Like, okay, these are beatable traps. They're simple. This isn't full on, like, you know, I don't know. The big middle stretch of like 4 to Jigsaw, which I think is the one before, or is it Saw 3D? The scope creep of the traps gets really big. And there's something really great about in 10 that like, it's just Amanda and John Kramer like walking around, like watching the people be in the traps. And it's kind of a fun perspective to be like, you know, the Jigsaw perspective instead of just you're here with the people who are getting fucked up.
Do you think I could handle Saw 10?
No.
Okay.
I don't. Great. I think it's delightful. I think that it has some like amazing, amazing practical gore that you would not be around for.
Are you going to see The Substance?
Yes. I've been trying to find a good weekday to go during the day. I've just been busy and tired. Are you going to see it? I would imagine no.
Absolutely fucking not. You know, I've heard enough reactions that I'm 99.9% sure I could not handle it.
Yeah.
It sounds interesting. I will wait for someone to tell me I can handle it before I think
I don't
I can.
Think you, based on what I've heard about it, I don't think I've, especially when no. Have messages me like, you're going to want to see the stuff.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. Any movie that someone recommends to you, I'm probably not going to be able to handle.
Yes, indeed. The director's last movie, Revenge, was like, it was fine.
But this is basically, this is women not supporting other women is what I'm hearing.
It is. I am a misogynist, yes, great. Obviously, yes. As we all know. Put me back in Women's Corner.
That reminds me, I need to schedule a misogynist.
Misogynist therapy
this week. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
All right.
I hear there are some great local misogynist places.
Yeah.
Nearby me.
I don't think there's many happy endings going on at those.
No, probably not. But you know, what can you do?
It's a living.
there we go. Can you say it like the little bird in the Flintstones?
It's a living. Is that
I'd say that's exactly, you think you have to go, it's a living, you know, a little more like nasal to really get it.
Yeah, well.
But you did great. Isn't it fucked that the Flintstones was like a primetime show when it was on? That never ceases to amaze me.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's just weird that I don't think of the, you know, the Flintstones. I think of, you know, because
the
of my
Flintstones?
Age. The Flintstones? I guess I did say that. I think of the Flintstones as a, you know, I only ever saw it like as a whatever afternoon or Saturday morning cartoon, but that was prime time when it was on in the 60s, right?
Sure, yeah. And we know the pure Kino of John Goodman Flintstones.
This is something I don't know if we've ever talked about. What is your relationship with the Addams Family?
I somehow never watched the movies when I was a kid, which is maybe a good thing.
And not certainly not the TV show, the John Astin.
But I love Addams Family and Addams Family Values, which I both only watched as an adult, but they're great. Of course I love those movies. The old TV show I have knowledge of just because they're very... The Tumblr gift sets in the 2010s, lots of those.
Oh, really?
If you were on a certain corner.
Munsters
of Tumblr,
too?
Was.
Or no?
No. It's the Morticia Addams like aesthetic, you know?
Yeah, but the Munsters has that too with Lily, right? Lily Munster is very similar to Morticia Addams.
I guess, but I never saw much of that. And also, you know, my favorite pinball table of all time is the Addams Family pinball, so.
Mm-hmm. When I saw the Addams Family movie, I really didn't like it. Like, really didn't like it. Really? And having now revisited it as an adult, I like it so much more. I felt exactly the same way about Men in Black. And I don't know if that was just me being like a youthful, like anything big budget sucks kind of, you know, stick it to the man sort of vibe. But going back and watching Men in Black with Audrey, I still don't like it, but it's better than I remember it.
I don't know. I kind of think Men in Black 1 is a perfect movie.
Oh, really?
I think 2 is pretty good also.
I haven't seen in a long time. 3, I remember really liking, actually. Really liking.
Wait, is 3 more recent? 3
is the time travel one with...
Is that the one where Bill Hader's
Josh
in it?
Brolin. Is he in it? I don't remember. Josh Brolin
He's
plays
Andy
young...
Warhol in one of them.
I believe that's 3.
Okay.
Yeah, but Josh Brolin plays young Tommy Lee Jones because they like go back... in time to the 60s, I think. But I remember thinking it's actually a very moving movie in a way the other ones weren't.
Wow, okay. That's good to know. Mm-hmm. Have you been on the Men in Black ride at Universal Studios?
I don't go on rides in Universal Studios because I can't handle rides. I don't like scary movies and I don't like roller coasters.
You don't like cheese,
I don't like
you
fun.
Don't like rides.
No,
yeah.
I like to sit alone in my dark room and contemplate death.
You like to have a soak in your tub into.
I had one of those the other day. Yeah.
What did you watch content while you were having?
I did, and actually, I'm going to talk about that. When we do segments later on in the show, which I think we are going to do today, probably the first time on a live stream.
I think we can talk about the content. Do we just say fuck the gimmick?
I think we fuck the gimmick because we're having a great conversation and I don't think we need to do it. And I'd want
to
spend more time on the gimmick.
I'm excited to not do the gimmick. Yes, yeah. I think the gimmick is a full episode for when we need it. I think we are juiced up. We have stuff to talk about. So really, this was false advertising and we lied to all of you.
No, I'm juiced. I'm dripping juice right now. I'm so full. Juice is coming out of every available hole.
When we were doing
That's the face. Rachel face, oddly. Like, that's the face she makes a lot.
I do spend a lot of time with your wife. I don't know if you're privy to that. But when we were doing the countdown and switching off, I had a moment where I so badly wish that we had footage of me sitting in your chair and you sitting in my chair that we could cut to. I think that would be very funny. In the same way that I want, you know, a hand to come out of the side of the frame, you know, for bit purposes. Well, now that we've said fuck the gimmick,
nothing to talk about.
I have a fond memory of a party I was at once with a bunch of game developers, and I was getting a little fucked out, and so I was sitting in the corner doing... All right, hold on.
Excuse me? Do you want to elaborate on that particular phrase?
I shouldn't use the phrase fucked out in that context. Wow, it's the worst.
What does it even mean? I could see that being a great thing or a less good thing.
I'm gonna say I'm getting fucked out on gaming. I shouldn't have said that. It was a normal party. I was just sitting on the couch and I was tired. That's what I should have said.
From being fucked out.
Oh, Jesus. And I was on my...
No, you don't get to Jesus that. You're the one who mentioned it. I'm using your own words here.
I'm sending this one to my therapist also. Great. I was sitting on the couch with my phone doing the New York Times crossword. And then like slowly a bunch of people kept being like, oh, what are you doing? Oh, interesting. Wait, what about this one? So I had like a whole group of people around me and we were all doing the crossword together. And that's a game developer party, baby.
I remember once I was on a plane and I was sitting next to this might make me seem like a bad person. I was sitting next to a younger person, maybe a 12-ish year old, and I was doing the New York Times crossword on my iPad, and this kid leans over and he goes, 10 across, whatever, 10 across is juiced holes or whatever he says. And I very politely, but kindly, I was like, hey, I prefer to do these by myself. And I feel like maybe...
Was this...
I don't know. Was that the right thing to say?
Pre or post having children?
Oh, definitely post. I had a kid. I mean, this is within the last 10 years, which is when I had a child. Hmm. I didn't want to... A, I do genuinely like to solve them myself, but also... Yeah.
Was the child right?
I don't remember, to be honest. I think yes, but I didn't want to set a precedent where suddenly this kid is like leaning over my crossword, like giving me advice for the rest of the flight. So
yeah,
I felt
a mouse a cookie.
And I didn't yell at him. I didn't scold him. I just said, hey, I kind of want to do this by myself. But then I was like, oh, was that the wrong thing to say to this kid? So chat, sound off. Sound off in the chat. Smash that like button.
Am I the asshole?
Am I? I think it's okay to set a boundary with a kid you don't know, but I don't know. I also would like to encourage a young crossword fan.
You're fine. You're fine. It doesn't matter.
Great.
That actually, now that kid has grown up and refuses to do the crossword because a man was mean to him on a flight once.
Yes, and then, you know, probably by now he's seen a Ninja Sex Party video and he's like, that's that guy. That's that guy that
asshole.
Was mean to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
And here he is in the chat.
Were you a kid that if anyone spoke, like if an adult spoke sternly to you, your brain interpreted it as yelling?
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. It's a good state of hyperarousal for a child.
I have to say, I'm an adult where if anyone speaks sternly to me, I interpret it as yelling.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun when that happens. But like I was thinking about this the other day for some reason, but like when teachers would get mad at the class and like be very upset with the class, even though I was an impeccable, never spoke to the point that people would be like, are you able to talk? Weird. But I would like sit there and cry while the teacher would be like, you all need to stop talking. Like,
oh. There's truly no worse feeling than crying in front of teachers. A thing that I
awful.
Did maybe twice, maybe three times, including once in college. But like, yeah, it's a terrible, terrible feeling.
Yeah. I also remember one of my high school teachers who was the worst teacher I've ever had. I think I've talked about this teacher before, but I was her favorite. And the barometer of me being her favorite made everyone hate me, but also she treated me like shit, even though I was her favorite.
Oh, because so she was like hard on you because she...
Yeah, but not
you.
Like in a way that a good teacher is hard on you. Just like she would...
A good teacher is what? What? I didn't hear... I think my internet cut out for a second. Can you just repeat what you said right after a good teacher is?
Anyway, this teacher was terrible, but I remember one time she, you know, we had to write our like senior project papers and she looked at my paper and marked it up and was like, you need to change this specific sentence, replace it with this sentence that she wrote down. I went home, put the sentence that she wrote in, I brought it back the next day. She read it and she underlined that sentence and was like, this is terrible. Why did you put that in? Take that out. Like with no memory of the fact that she wrote
really?
The fucking sentence and told
oh
me
my
to put
God.
It in.
That's crazy.
But I remember my little group of friends who were all like the super nerds. I was in her class during a lunch period one day and she was talking to my other friend who was like the most gentle, sweet, quiet, did all her work, helped out. Like, this teacher made her cry, and I felt violent. It's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? This is probably the best student in the whole school and the biggest sweetie pie of all time, and you're making her cry, and you don't even care? Like, it was the kind of thing where it's like, why are you in teaching? You hate this so much. You hate everyone. You hate teaching. Why are you here?
That actually happened to me once. So I was that, like, you know, best student kind of kid.
Yeah, me too.
And hold on, I'm getting a call. Decline. Let me just turn on Do Not Disturb because I forgot to do that before.
I already had that on.
Oh, I put it on Disturb.
Like a professional.
Well, I put it, yeah, anyway. I was going to say I put it on Disturb because I'm down with the sickness, and then I decided not to say it, and then I decided to say it. But actually, isn't down with the sickness Drowning Pool? It's not Disturb, it's Drowning Pool. So that joke didn't work, which is why I shouldn't have said it. Anyway, moving on. It's important that people know. I forgot who did Down with the Sickness.
Down with the Sickness is Disturb, though.
It is. Okay. What did Drowning Pool do? What's the famous Drowning Pool song?
I don't know.
All right, so I was right. That's the point here. Anyway, so we had my high school...
Bodies,
let the bodies hit the floor. That's what it is. Yes, of course. We had my band, the concert band in high school, went to the middle school to perform some kind of assembly or something. And you know, typically there were always reeds at the, you know, I'd have them in my case or they'd be at the school. And I forgot to bring an extra reed and I needed an extra reed for my sax. And I asked the band conductor in the middle school, not the high school band conductor, the middle school band conductor. I was like, hey, I don't have an extra reed. Do you have an extra reed? And this guy fucking laid into me, like in front of everybody, was like, how, and I'm maybe 10th grade at this point or something, he's like, how dare you show up for a gig without an extra reed? It's the most unprofessional, like went the fuck off. And I am, you know, always prepared. In this case, there were always plenty of reeds around, and I got very upset. I can't remember if I actually cried, but I think I probably did. And,
oh my God, that makes me so sad to imagine.
And this guy, and apparently everybody knew this guy was like, you know, being completely unreasonable. And a couple of kids came up afterwards, and they were like, "What the fuck was up with that?" Apparently, my high school band conductor pulled the guy aside and was like, "You don't talk that way to anybody, let alone this kid, because this kid is like,
yeah,
you know, he is on it." He does not deserve this. And the guy who had some kind of thing going, I don't know, maybe he was upset about something. Still
whatever.
No excuse. But I was like, oh, I was very, very upset about it. So I remember,
you know,
that.
My orchestra conductor was the same way. She was like the reason I quit.
There was a guy who conducted the middle school band. It was a different person than what I'm talking about, who was like, who would fly into a rage, which at the time, you know, but he was really awesome and sweet most of the time, but occasionally we just like blow up, and we all just kind of brushed it off at the time and definitely should not have.
I wanted to play violin, and then this conductor convinced me to go for viola because nobody plays viola, and they needed, because there were only two of us playing the viola. The problem was that the other girl never fucking practiced. And mm-hmm. I practiced a lot.
Did you realize you played viola?
Yeah, I played viola for like 2 years.
Oh, okay, very cool. Good choice. It's a good instrument.
Yeah. I didn't like it. I was jealous of the violinist because it was like, you guys get to play all the cool shit and I'm stuck with this girl who can't hit anything. So when our section is fucking up, it's us two with all the pressure. This girl doesn't practice. I'm trying. And then also I was getting like weird transference of like the release. It's the same thing with my high school teacher who made my friend cry and mm-hmm. whose favorite I was, where it's like there's something in me that reminds you of you, and so you're being really fucking weird to me because of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that exact thing with the conductor, who had a last name that was a letter away from being fucks, so as you can imagine, people were really
cool about it and awesome.
people were really cool about it. So I attributed that to that, her attitude to that. But, yeah, I was just brutal on me in particular. This shit sucks, lady.
Yeah.
I get this shit at home 24/7. I gotta come to school and get it too. Come on.
We had one teacher who was like, was at the school for 1 year. I think I was in 10th or 11th grade. And she was an English teacher and ended up being the yearbook advisor. And she was like genuinely unstable. And I remember one weekend, we all had to come into school to work on yearbook stuff or whatever. And it was daylight savings weekend. And we all showed up at the correct time, which is to say the clocks had just been set back or whatever. And we showed up the right time. She had been there an hour earlier. I guess they were set forward, but whatever. And she went off. How dare you show up an hour late? You know, I got here right on to bop, 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 bop. And this is, of course, I shouldn't need to say this, before cell phones. And, you know, you had to like manually reset the clocks and all this stuff. You just had to know. And, you know, every kid that was there, which was like five of us, who came in on our fucking own time on a weekend to work on the yearbook. This happened legitimately 30 years ago, and I'm still mad about it.
Yeah, of course.
With like, you know, Ms. X, it's daylight savings time. Well, I don't care. And it's like, oh, no. You don't get to own the mistake.
You don't get to do the double down. You
were
wrong.
You fucked up. We were right. You were wrong. Just own it. But she was so unstable and delusional that, like, there's no way she could own it. That still mad about that. Still mad about the daylight savings thing.
The tone of your "how dare you" immediately set off my fight or flight, my legitimate actual fight or flight response.
Yeah.
My terrible high school teacher did the exact same thing, where we had you know, like the shadowing days where it would be like, here's an eighth grader coming to shadow like one of the high schoolers so they can see what the school is like.
Sounds spoopy.
Yeah. So they could see what our shitty school was like,
yeah.
Which was great because it would be a bunch of very excited eighth graders and us being like, yeah, you're not going to have any social life. You're going to do 8 hours of homework every night. All the teachers are pieces of shit. Welcome. Mm-hmm. And then to demonstrate this to the eighth graders, they were in the class, in our English class, with this terrible teacher, and she had some like easy question up on the board. I don't even remember what it was. It was some English interpretation question, and she kept calling on people and nobody would get it. And then I raised my hand and I said the answer, and she was like, no, and then kept going to the next people, and then went through like 10 people after I'd already said the correct answer, and then was like, it is humiliating that none of you know the answer when we have younger students looking up to you. And everyone was like, Layton said it like 10 minutes ago.
So excuse me one moment. I'm getting a knock here.
Oh. Do you want to hide your... Well, he's already... Okay, there we go. Hi, it's just me. Yeah, it's, teachers can be, they can make your life really, really difficult.
Audrey just told me there's a quote, super cool bug in the front yard, and she's worried it might leave.
Aww. Do you want to go see the super cool bug?
I
want to
go see the super cool bug. Can you hold down the fort for 2 minutes while I go do that?
Yeah. Oh, wait, shit.
Wrong one.
Hello, it's me holding down the fort. There he goes. All right, it's just me. What's up? Ask me some movie or video game related questions. Is anybody else playing the Chaos Shuffle Dead by Daylight event? It sucks. I think I've spent like 15 hours playing Dead by Daylight in the last 48 hours. And oh my God, it sucks. I can't stop. I have been getting hard tunneled nonstop. Like I've passed 800 hours in the game this weekend. That's very sad for me. I could... Anyway. Favorite bug in a game? I don't know. Because you could mean literal bug, or you could just mean like a bug. I like... The first thing that I think of is like if you put the gyroids in Animal Crossing New Horizons on the wall, you can make it sit on top of things or like clip into... other stuff. The Steam Deck is great. I have had to put a little bit of a the Rich asked, how's the Steam Deck, boss? I'm so bad at this. The Steam Deck is great. I've had to put a moratorium on using it because it was ruining my life. But I love it. I think it's excellent. What path should I choose to end New Vegas? I can't decide. Look into your heart. Are you playing the DLCs? What's your build? Who do you like? Personally, I'm a yes man kind of gal, but not because I think it's the best choice. I just think that a brain damaged courier would hate House. Like, I always kill House because he's mean to you. And I think that that's accurate when he's like, so be a good courier and deliver it. It's like, okay, bitch, where's your golf club? Because I'm smashing your head in. Like, yeah, he is kind of the best option, but also he's a bitch and he should die. So I don't know, maybe something like that. Have I checked out Deadlock? No. Hi, Faffle. Welcome. We gave up on our gimmick because we had so much cool stuff to talk about, and Brian's gone looking at a cool bug. Hi. Can we get an ep of you and Brian and Audrey playing Echoes of Wisdom? As much as I would love to do that, I also don't want to exploit Audrey for content more than we do / have. You know, it's like a tricky thing to deal with. Oh, and Brian's back. Layton, have you or do you have any interest in Starfield? I played it for maybe a little under 2 hours when it came out, and I hated it, and it's the only game on Steam I've ever refunded because I couldn't believe I paid $70 for it, and I just think it's dog shit, and I will not give it a chance unless I can get it for free again. So sad, very sad. What was the gimmick? The gimmick. Whoa! What kind of bug is that?
Not totally sure. It doesn't quite look like a grasshopper, but it's really big.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's hard to, the focus isn't so great on the camera, but we're going to look at it, Audrey and I, for a little bit.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so this was totally worth me leaving the stream.
It was,
to go look
yeah.
at this cool, it's some leaf bug or something? I don't know.
Katie did.
Yeah, maybe a Katie did.
Katie did that.
Yeah, so I'm going to give this back to her, and then we're going to explore the wonders of this bug in a moment. So she's just outside the door. Let me hand this off.
Do it. How do I put him in woman's corner? Oh God, what have I done? Okay, okay, all right. Hold on, wait for it, wait for it. Wait for it.
Well, that's cool. Oh yeah, very cool.
Wait for it, all right.
Oh no, I've been banished.
Are you enjoying your corner?
Yeah.
Well, well, well. Are you enjoying it? Do you like the corner? Do you enjoy?
I love my little corner, yeah.
Isn't it cozy?
It's very nice in here, yeah.
No, this is the wrong one. It's this one.
And you want this one. This is the one.
It's that one, but it's still wrong. Oh, thank God.
There we go. There is order in the universe. Well, I think we should move on to segments. Unless were you answering questions? That was what was happening.
I was poorly and badly. Yeah.
Well, did you have any other questions you wanted to answer?
No.
All
I've
right.
said my piece.
I'll answer one question. Hit me in the chat.
Make
We've
it count,
got 25
folks.
People. This better be a good question. Okay, here's a question I'll answer from Rich. Have I made a student cry? The answer is yes, but not intentionally. So I'll give you the circumstance in which it happened. I was teaching. I won't say where. I mean, there's no one could identify from this. I was teaching at the college level, and I was teaching a class mostly of first years. And, you know, we got to the end of the year and there was an exam, and this girl did very poorly on the exam, and she'd been struggling all semester, worked hard, but, you know, was struggling in the class. And at the end, after the exam, came to me, you know, made an appointment to see me and said, look, I did really badly on this test, but I really understand this stuff. Can I take the test again? And I'm like, I'm sorry. No, you know, that's, I can't let you do that because that's just not fair to everybody. You know, it's not that, you know, I don't like you personally. It's just, yeah. I can't do that. And she got upset and cried and left. But so I felt bad about it, but also I, you know, what could I do? There's no way I could say, yes, you can take the test again. And also it was like, there's no, you know, it's college. There's no like extra credit. There's no do over, you know, already it was like you dropped the lowest blah, blah, blah score. Yeah, you know, you kind of, it was about as fair as it could be. So that was unfortunate, but you know, sometimes you just, I gave her an answer she didn't like, and that was it. So I felt bad about it, but also it was the right thing to do.
Well, I think you're morally absolved for not letting that child help you with your crossword, but that is just unforgivable, in my opinion.
Yep. Well, the other thing is, after she left, she was crying. I did chuckle evilly to myself. I went,
you had your fingers steepled, and you like...
Well, our first segment on the show is our pop culture recommendation segment. This is where you get to discuss something you've been enjoying recently. It could be a book, a movie, a video game, what have you. And the name of this segment is What's Poppin', and the theme song goes here.
What's Poppin'?
What's Poppin'? Layden, what's popping?
Well, Brian, what's popping? You go first. I got to calm down. Okay.
Well, I was going to talk, you know, I mentioned before when I had my little Soaky Soak the other day, I was watching some capital C content. And the thing I have been enjoying recently and what's popping for me this week is a thing I've talked about on the show before, but I'm revisiting it because there's a new season out. It's Slow Horses, the Gary Oldman starring, Gary Oldman, Kristen Scott Thomas, and others starring Apple TV show, which is a spy show about MI5 in, you know, basically a bunch of MI5 rejects in London, and starring Gary Oldman as the most disgusting person in the world. And it's just great. It's just great. It's fun. The pacing's awesome. It's a bunch of great British actors. I just really, really love it. So I've been going back. I can't remember the last time I went back and rewatched a show that I've watched, you know, semi-recently. But the episode, the seasons are, I think, 6 episodes long each, maybe 8. But they're short and they're easy to digest. And it's so great. I enjoy it a lot. Slow Horses. That's what's popping for me.
Cool. Love that.
Are you fully back up in position?
I am, yeah.
No longer fucked out, totally, totally good, ready to pop. Juicy enough to pop, as they say in the business. Yeah, there's that face again.
What's popping for me is there's a YouTube video that's a mashup of Plastic Love and Inda Club by 50 Cent that I love. I listen to that song every day. It's just a perfect fusion of music. That's it. That's what's popping for me. I don't have anything else exciting. I'm very boring. I'm watching a streamer play Resident Evil 3. Whatever.
Have I ever told you my friend's coworker's 50 Cent story?
No.
Okay. So this is a friend of a friend kind of thing. This guy is in line at Starbucks, and he notices in front of him, at the front of the line, there is a group of people, kind of like an entourage, you know, surrounding clearly a famous person. Looks, doesn't quite know who the famous person is, asks someone in line, hey, who's that guy? 50 Cent pops out. He's like, you don't know me. And the guy's like, I'm sorry, I don't know who you are. And 50 Cent is like, I am 50, I'm 50 Cent. You don't know me. And he's like, well, I've heard of you, but I don't recognize you. And then 50 Cent is like, this is not a bit, by the way, this is a true story that I heard. 50 Cent's like, I'm 50 Cent. You know, you should, now, if you don't know me before, now you know me. I'm 50 Cent. Now you recognize me. And this guy's like, okay. And then 50 Cent goes up to order his coffee and they're like, you know, $5, please. And apparently the guy goes, well, shouldn't it be $4.50? And 50 Cent got mad at him. That's my friend's 50 Cent story.
That's excellent. Now that guy will always know 50 Cent is that guy who got really mad at him in a Starbucks.
That's right. He will always remember what 50 Cent looks like. Yeah.
Great. So that's what's popping. Now it's time for our final segment, which is three parts gratitude exercise and one part petty grousing. The name of the segment is Peaches and Lemons, and the theme song goes right here. Peaches and Lemons. Peaches and Lemons. Excellent. That was the theme song.
I realize I fucked up that. I fucked up the story. 50 Cent bought the guy a coffee. That's what it was. 50 Cent bought the guy a coffee. That's how we remembered him.
Gotcha.
Another winner of a story from...
Another winner of a story. I thought you were going to say that I did a really good job introducing the segment for once, honestly.
I think you did.
Thanks.
Can we go back to the thing that teacher... You said the teacher was what?
Oh, my God. Brian.
What? I genuinely don't remember, and I need... For editing purposes, I need you to tell me what expression you used. You said this teacher was really... something. You.
I this is the one time in 230 something episodes where I've properly introduced the segment and we've ruined it. We've destroyed it.
No, technically you ruined it.
All right. Well,
but I came to play. I have a lemon if you want me to do my lemon.
Yeah.
My lemon is, so I have a external hard drive here. Yeah, I don't like to brag. It's a lissy. But this fucker, it takes forever for this thing to mount. And I can't tell if it's like a problem.
What was that?
Or not.
What did
it
you
takes,
just, what did
it
you
takes
just
forever
say?
For this thing to mount. And I've been really hard on it. Like, I've really you know, put this thing through its paces. You know, I don't know if it's just kind of... you know, old and fucked out, but I've been pretty hard on this drive, and every time I plug it in using a nice connector, it takes forever to mount, and it's annoying, and I never know how long it's going to take. Sometimes it mounts right away, sometimes it takes a few minutes, but this is my main backup. So should I be concerned that someday it just won't mount? I don't know, but that's my lemon. I don't like this hard drive. The other thing is I password protected it, and I feel like that might be part of the problem, but I don't think it should be. I think it's something else. Yeah,
well, that's a shame. Sorry to hear about that.
Yep, I have another backup because I, you know, I'm careful, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just make sure you're using protection.
Oh, I always do. Yeah, when I have sex with this hard drive, I make sure to always wear a condom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, my lemon is that my internet, famously not great, but it's been better. Lately, it has been doing this thing where I will lose the internet for like 5 seconds, 5 to 10 seconds.
Brutal.
Which is enough to fuck up calls and be annoying.
Yep.
But the big one is that it makes me, it's enough time to disconnect me from Dead by Daylight games, and it happens completely randomly. And I hate people who DC. It's a scourge amongst, you know, playing a game that's four people are on your team. People will be brats and disconnect when they're losing.
It is brat summer, to be fair.
And I've been forced into disconnecting from games that are really good. Yesterday was the worst one, where I got to the very end of a grueling game that was unwinnable, that I was literally a second away from getting to the end screen when it disconnected. So I'm sure for those people, it seemed like that I had just pulled the plug out of rage. And so I didn't get any points from it. And I got locked out of matchmaking for like 20 minutes. And I didn't get any. I had like completed a hard challenge that I was trying to do in that game too. Anyway, so now I'm paranoid every time I play a game that's like, okay, am I just gonna dip out of this because my internet shits for 10 seconds? So yeah, that's my lemon.
Great.
And I'll do peaches because we've kind of already talked about all of them. So mm-hmm. they're not exciting, but they're mm-hmm. exciting for me. Mm-hmm. Peach number one was mm-hmm. seeing Built to Spill. Mm-hmm. A treat. We already talked about it. Mm-hmm. Number two, I got to watch Saw, Spiral from the Book of Saw, and Saw X with Aaron and Susie last night. We already talked about that. And number three is I have my favorite sandwich in the fridge.
Oh. Wait. Hold on. Don't tell me.
Okay.
Mozzarella?
No.
Well, I'm mozzarella guessing ingredients. Sandwich? Not just the, I'm guessing ingredients in the sandwich.
Brian, it's two slices of white bread and a ball of mozzarella, and you got to make sure it's
uncut ball
wet.
Of burrata. Yeah, just straight from the wet burrata container. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you put it on, here's what you do. You take one slice of Wonder Bread and you put the burrata on top of it, dripping wet. You don't drain it. Then you put the other on top of it, and then you press down, right? You just press down mm-hmm. on top of it, and then you slurp it off the paper plate you've put it on.
Yeah, no, it's sort of like an uncrustable, like you press the bread around it, or like when mm-hmm. you make bread balls out of Wonder Bread.
Bread what?
Guess what else is on the sandwich?
Ham?
No. Well.
Prosciutto, I mean.
Prosciutto, yeah.
Okay, see, I was in the right wheelhouse. Yeah. Roasted red peppers?
No, I do not like roasted red peppers.
Oh, okay. Basil?
Arugula.
Brie?
I'll give you that. Ooh, good guess, but no.
Any kind there of cheese?
Yes. I'll say provolone because you're not going to guess provolone.
Okay.
Now, there is one more ingredient that is essential and is what makes this entire sandwich. Can you guess what it is?
Is it
a little bit of a curveball.
Is it like fig spread?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. I knew I'd heard you talk about this sandwich before. Yeah.
And it's on really yeah. crusty, chewy bread, and it's yep. the fucking greatest thing in the world. And I
That's
always
great.
Get two, so I had one for dinner last night, and I'm going to have the other one tonight.
That's great. Did you make it, or did you buy it somewhere?
No, I got it from a restaurant that I really like. Mm-hmm. And the fig jam, I think it's not just like, you know, the fucking $10 jar of fig jam that I love. I think they make it because it has these like fat pieces of fig in it mm-hmm. so you will like bite into a fig, and it's the best thing in the world. So those Great. Are my peaches.
Well, my peaches, let's see, I wrote them down. Number one is I mentioned most of these, we're Halloweenifying the house, which is nice. I like it. This is the first time since it's been a while. We don't really decorate the house outside of fall and winter. So when fall rolls around, it's time to decorate the house again, and we're Halloweening it up. Rachel has a lot of Halloween stuff she has accumulated over the years, and that's happening to her house right now. The second was this gig that we talked about for Built to Spill, which was, it's an honor to open for a legendary band. So it's just, you know, cool to meet other musicians, and especially like, you know, amazing ones that people, including close friends, really love. And my final peach is there's a new indie game out called Legend of Zelda Echoes of Wisdom, which I purchased for Audrey and myself today. And I showed her right before we started this live stream. I was like, hey, Audrey, look at this, and showed her the Switch menu. And she almost fell over because she had forgotten that the release day was like now. So after this finishes, we are going to go play Echoes of Wisdom together.
Amazing. I want to hear the first impressions. Please let me know how it goes.
She will be very excited about it. Yeah. It's a cute one, right? It's like a Wind Waker-y kind of style cute one.
I consider the day that Tears of the Kingdom came out and I came home with you guys after grandparents and special friends day. Just prime memory for me. Amazing.
Yep. And now this is the next Zelda game. So it's very exciting time. So those are my peaches. Do you know how originally, you know, I actually had a little plan for how we were going to open up this live stream that I didn't do. I was going to do a segment about Moo Dang, the baby hippo.
I would have been down for that.
Yeah. I was going to say
awesome.
That. But unfortunately, I did hear that Moo Dang just endorsed RFK Jr. for president. So I know people really like Moo Dang,
the
baby hippo, but it just came down the wire that Moo Dang is in fact, you know, even though he pulled out of the race, Mudang is unfortunately on team RFK.
Mudang also has some questionable likes in her ex history, her followers list.
Likes all of Elon's tweets, which is not a good look. I gotta
say. She never retweets them, but she likes every single one of them.
Yep, mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
following some iffy follows, which aren't like over the line, but they're kind of on the line, like Bill Maher types, where you're like, okay.
Yeah. She won't, you know, stand up and explicitly say anything to clarify her beliefs, even though people are constantly asking her.
That's right.
Yeah. So some of y'all really need to, you know, be consistent with your moral, who you support, just because she's cute and she's a hippo. Okay, then.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. That's how I was going to open up the stream today with that bit. And decided to, well, we just got talking about something else, but I thought
she's so great. I love her.
It's time Mudang got knocked down a peg.
Yeah.
You know what?
I don't get what all the hype is anyway.
People can't stand to see a successful woman. So they're going to come for Mudang really sooner rather than later. Rachel is obsessed with this fucking penguin too. Pesto the penguin. I get so many Pesto videos from
Well, you know Pesto
Rachel.
The penguin was January 6th.
That's right.
Sorry, who's Pesto the penguin?
A really big fucking baby penguin. Look up Pesto the penguin.
Oh, look at him. He's so big.
He's so big. Yes.
Wow, yeah. Look at him. He's like as big as a
Do
person.
Do you see the picture of Pesto inside Nancy Pelosi's office? It's really unfortunate, I gotta say. But
I think that's the end of the episode. It's so fucking
Late Night is produced by Brian Wecht and Leighton Gray. Sign up for our Patreon at patreon.com/LeightonNight. Follow us on Twitter at Leighton Night, on Instagram at Leighton_Night, or email us at LeightonNight@gmail.com.